Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Amen. Praise God. The presence of the Lord is here. He is here. He's here. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you for coming on a Wednesday night. We need Wednesday nights. We need midweek time with the Lord. Sunday to Sunday is just too far apart. We need this pickup during the week. In fact, it's much easier than it was growing up. We had a lot of pickups during the week and break bread in people's homes. And I believe we're going to get back to that. When we see the suffering in the world today, it's going to bring the body of Christ closer together. We're going to continue from last week, and last week we were in Numbers chapter 13, and we talked about how there were 12 spies sent in, 12, good number, apostolic number, a number of authority, 12 tribes, 12 disciples. God has this thing about 12, and to make a long story short, they did not fulfill their right assignment, at least 10 did not. They were to spy out the land so there would be battle plans to go in and take the promised land. And we know that 10 came back and they gave what God called an evil report. And all they said was, we're not able. We're not able. Did they lie? No, they weren't able. They didn't lie. They were not able. In themselves, they were not able. But with God, they were more than able. You see the difference. They left God out of the equation. So God did not call it a negative report. He didn't call it a fearful report. He called it a what? Evil. Anything that does not line up with the Word of God is evil. There's two spirits, truth and error. Right? And so when it goes against what God says and it goes against God's will, it is evil. Now, when we say about ourselves something contrary than what God has said, that's evil. But see, we just think, oh, we just have low self-esteem. No, God doesn't call it low self-worth and low self-esteem. He calls it evil. And the reason why this lesson is now, last week, I was praying in a whole different direction, and God kept bringing me back to this, and I couldn't leave it. And so it's part two tonight, is because this was a pivotal time for the children of Israel. They could have gone into the promised land and had everything promised to them. But because they were defiled, the children of Israel were defiled by these 10 spies who gave an evil report, they could not fulfill what God wanted them to fulfill. They could not take the land. Now, here's something about prophecy. God called them out. They had a prophetic word over their life that they were promised the land. It was given to them through their father Abraham. You can have a prophetic word over your life, but if you listen to an evil report and become infected and defiled and disease contaminated by that report, then you can void God's best for your life. And remember last week I drew the chart, and it was the perfect will of God, but how we take detours. And what we call restoration is just basically traveling back up to that perfect will. That's really what restoration is getting back into the place of God's perfect will for our life. So let's look at this. How many have your Bibles and are able to read tonight? Raise your hands if you are. Okay, Stacy and Paula. Who else? Okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 readers. Okay. Let me just give some scriptures out to you now. And we will go from there. Praise God. Let's start off with Proverbs. This is a long passage. Proverbs 6, 14 through 19. Stacy, if you'll take that. And Paula, would you take Proverbs 17:9? 17:9. Sue, can you take Psalm 41, verse 7? Jenny, can you take Leviticus 19:16? Nima, can you take Proverbs 11:13? Brother Tim, Living Good, can you take Numbers 14:36? And Psalm 105, verse 5. And Stacy, can you take 1 Peter 4:15? I think that may be where we may end. If nobody has it, then what I will do is I'll take the rest or whatever. We'll see how far we go. We're going to talk about, and I've taught on this a couple times over the last 20 years, but we're going to talk about how to deal with the evil report. And everybody gets evil reports. How many turns on the news? President Trump calls it fake news. How many's ever seen fake news? Okay. You hear every report. How many's heard gossip before? How many's heard rumor mill? And we don't need the National Inquiry. We have the Gospel Inquiry, right? So God wants us, he wants us free. He wants us delivered and set free. And we, once we're delivered, we have to retain our deliverance. And this is one of the big ways we lose out. Many times we get defiled. So we're going to learn how not to be tonight. Let's begin. Stacy, I'm going to hand a mic to you and read that passage of scripture.
Proverbs 6:14-19. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He sows discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren.
Abominations. God doesn't call them just sins. He calls them abominations. Abominations. Boy, when you say the word abomination, that's up there with homosexuality, you know. I mean, that's abomination. This is things that God, it stenches to him. And so we need to understand that. A proud look, arrogance, haughtiness, a lying tongue, shedding innocent blood, an evil lying witness. Those who cause division. How to deal with an evil report. What causes, think about this, what causes families to separate? I was just talking with somebody on the phone today that is heartbroken because there's so much division in their family. And it all goes back to this message. I talked to a pastor today that's gone through church splits, and it's all because of what I'm teaching on tonight. So what causes these problems? It is a wrong response to an evil report. An evil report, and this is review from last week, it involves distortion of facts. How many know that facts can be there, and it's convincing, but you can distort the facts. Incomplete facts, false information. It is given with wrong motivation and causes the hearer to come to inaccurate conclusions and to respond with unscriptural solutions. Evil reports are so destructive that they can actually destroy long-lasting close friendships. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Did I give that one out? Proverbs 16:28. Basically, Okay, it says this. A whisper separates chief friends. It separates chief's friends. So I'm going to turn this board around and start going over some things. Oh, thank you, Stacy. Now, here is the stages of defilement. Now, in the medical world, it begins with ignorance, exposure, contamination, infection, and then disease. Let's say it together. Ignorance, exposure, contamination, infection, and then disease. I was talking to my hairdresser. She had an infection, a staph infection, some kind of bacterial infection. And she was in the hospital. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I found out about it about the time you were leaving. And I said, I did pray for you. She said, well, you couldn't have come to see me anyway because they had me quarantined. They had her in what they called isolation. Why? Because they did not want somebody else to be exposed. Because if they are exposed, they can be contaminated. And if they get contaminated, they can get the infection. And then the infection can cause disease in the body. Okay? So that's in the medical world. Did you know that there are stages of spiritual defilement? We're ignorant of some things many times. Sometimes we do it. And we're not ignorant, but we may be ignorant about how it affects us. I talked to a man one time, and he says, I can go to R-rated movies. I can see nudity. I can see all that stuff. It don't bother me. And I said, are you a homosexual? He said, no. I said, well, then you're lying. Okay, I'll continue. It does bother. Why? Because you're ignorant of the exposure that you can be content. Are you here tonight? So we have to quarantine ourselves off from some things many times. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he says, you do not touch this one tree. And the tree had a name. And the tree was the knowledge of good and evil. He did not want them to even have the awareness of what was evil and what was wicked. He did not want them to be exposed to sin and what sin was like. And so they disobeyed, they partook, and their eyes were open. They saw that they were naked, and they began to cover themselves immediately. Now, stages of defilement, ignorance. Ignorant of preventative measures to avoid contamination. That's the ignorance. Exposure is to be around one who's infected. Contamination is by allowing the germs to enter one's system. And how does sin enter our system? Through the eye gate, through the ear gate, right? Through our senses. That's how we become contaminated. And then if we don't get deliverance, we become infected. And then if we don't get deliverance, then we become diseased. And if we don't get deliverance, we die from the disease, spiritually speaking. Spiritual death. What are the stages of defilement? Number one, ignorance. And last week I shared this scripture in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that Satan will gain advantage over us if we are ignorant of his devices. And so tonight, we are not going to be ignorant of some of his devices as we look at this. Okay. James 3, verse 6. Did I give that out? It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It defileth. There's that word, defile. It defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. There's ignorance. Here's one of the ignorance. Ignorant of how words destroy close friendships. That can be a marriage. That's the reason why when you're married, you shouldn't be talking to about your spouse to other people. Are you here? There's counseling for that, right? If there's problems, There should be counsel about that. But you shouldn't be going, he this and she this. Okay? Because it can destroy. Proverbs 17, verse 9, please.
He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends.
So, if you repeat a matter, you can separate people. The next thing is ignorant of how the unclean defile the clean, rather than the clean influencing the unclean. If I have a dirty glass and a clean glass, by putting clean water in the dirty glass, does that make the glass clean? No. Because clean water doesn't go with a dirty glass. Clean water goes with a washed and clean glass, correct? And so many times when we mix unclean and clean together, that's what was happening to the temple that Jeremiah was crying out and basically warning them they were going in captivity because they were mixing the clean with the unholy in their worship. They were bringing in pagan gods into the temple. There is no mixture when it comes to holiness and being separate unto God. There, you can't mix the two together. When I was growing up, there was a deacon's daughter. I was the pastor's daughter. There was a deacon's daughter, and she looked sweet and innocent. She would, I guess, remind you of that character Nellie on Little House on the Prairie. You know, she could, she was mean as the devil, I'm telling you, just mean. And everybody knew she was mean. Her mom and dad knew she was mean. And they got this bright idea. If I was her best friend, if they would have me over and connect us, that somehow that she would be okay. And come to find out, instead of her becoming Sharon, I become Nellie. And so my parents started seeing an attitude change in me, started seeing a difference in me. They learned very quickly that I was becoming, so to speak, defiled. So they had to separate me from Nellie. And I just said it that way because Nellie was, she was one of those. Number two, exposure to one who is already affected. Contamination, infection, disease. So we are ignorant sometimes of who is really unclean. Ignorance of what constitutes an evil report. And we saw in just last week that anything that does not line up with the Word of God, it's clearly defilement to our hearing. It's defilement. Anything that does not line up with the Word of God. Anything you can't say in the presence of Jesus is evil speech. That's another way to put it. Amen? You ever know a person that says, pardon my language, and then cusses up a blue streak? I don't pardon that. Oh, that's okay. No, you don't pardon that. They're willfully sinning. Pardon my speech, but blah, 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 you know, and use those words. They defilement. But there's things worse than using bad language. We're looking at that. Ignorance of how evil reports are given. And I said this last week, they can be given many different ways. The pattern, the tone of your voice, your gestures, your facial expressions. Ignorance of who gives evil reports. And evil reports can be given by anybody. It's part of the fallen nature. Evil reports can be given at a ministerial meeting among ordained ministers. You heard about the three preachers. They're fishing together. And they said, you know, let's just come clean and take our mask off and let's share our worst sin. And this first one, he says, well, you know, every once in a while I like just to go binge drinking. And the second one said, yeah, I have problems with women. And the third one says, well, my biggest problem is I'm a gossip. can be given by anybody. Ha, 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 ha. Y'all didn't even get it. Anybody. I can give an evil report. I've given evil reports. Every one of us has given evil reports. All right. A lot of times if somebody seems sister spiritual and brother holy, and they say something, we can't even imagine that that could be an evil report. And that's usually the most dangerous people. Can you say amen? People who seem to be spiritual. We got to realize all of us can give evil reports. All right. I want us to look at the difference for a moment between a whisperer, a gossip, a slanderer, and a busybody. Or let's just see four categories of evil reports. Are you ready? Psalm 41 and verse number 7. Psalm 41:7. Who has that?
All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt.
Okay. A whisper is, it doesn't mean just somebody goes, a whisper is somebody who does things privately in the dark places. They'll say something like, this is just between me and you. I trust you. Can I confide in you about a matter? That's a whisper. Oh. And that's what was happening to Jesus. Because David is writing, being a type of Jesus. That's what Judas did. He was a whisperer. Why? Because all the disciples were trying to figure out who it was. He did it privately, quietly, a whisperer. Then there is the gossip. There's two different scriptures, Leviticus 19:6 and Proverbs 11:13. Who has Leviticus 19:6?
Are you sure it's 6 and not 16?
It is 16. My apologies.
Okay. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord.
A talebearer is a gossip. Proverbs 11:13.
A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter.
Now, a gossip is one who will actually tell somebody something and they will sensationalize the truth. Or they will distort the truth. It can be based on truth, but they will magnify some things. They will tell it in such a way that, oh my. There was this man, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard the story, so I'll just say I heard the story. I don't know if it's true. But there was a man that, there was a woman in the church that was a gossip, a talebearer. And lo and behold, she saw a truck that looked like his truck in front of the bar in town. And so she got on the phone and told everybody, watch out for his truck. I saw his truck at a bar. He heard this. So you know what he did? Late one night, he took his truck. He parked it in her driveway. He called himself a cab. He left that truck stay there all night long. Now, I don't know if that's true, but somebody told it to me. Taught her a lesson. Hey, I was like, we're on the lookout for where his truck was. But, you know... How many would might have an idea to do something like that? Just be honorary. Yeah. Thank you, honey. When I heard the story, my cousin called me and he said, I think that was Uncle Lewis. Uncle. Oh. So... A gossip is one who will sensationalize or they will give partial information. They'll take a rumor and they will pass it on as something that really happened. All right, so we have the whisper, the gossip. Now, let's look at the slander. Oh, Proverbs 11:13. Who has that? Proverbs 11:13. You read it. Okay, then the slander. Numbers 14:36. You read that. Psalm 101, verse 5.
No, we didn't read.
Okay. Psalm 101, verse 5.
Numbers 14.
36.
Yes, okay. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land.
So they slandered. It was a slander against God because they even said, we're not able to. We can't. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Psalm 101, verse 5.
Is it 105 or 101?
101, verse 5.
Okay. I got turned to it. I had 105. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy.
So here's a whisper slanderer, kind of combining it secretly. A slanderer. And then the next one is the busybody. The busybody. Now, usually these two, the gossip and the busybodies, are habitual in what they do. They're just habitual when it comes to talking about people. Habitual. And it's almost like they've got to know. They've just got to know. There's a person that... He was a friend of the family, and he would come across so concerned about everybody, but he would ask you questions, and then another question, and another question. And it dawned on me, he just liked juicy stuff. And I wanted to call him a woman hen, you know, because he would start off that he was just concerned, but more questions. And I thought, you ever have people that just want to know? It's like, watch TV. If you want drama, watch TV. Just watch a good program. And then here is the busybody. 1 Peter 4:15.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters.
Oh, wow. Look at the sin groupings together. Read those again, Stacy. The sin groupings.
Murderer. Thief.
Murderer and a thief.
Evildoer.
An evildoer.
Busybody.
And a busybody. A busybody. A busybody, I love this. They're one that, who just digs up evil reports. They dig up stuff. I mean, they're like investigators. And they dig up stuff. And then they form a case. They think it's their job, their business, to go around and spread slander and gossip. In other words, they know the gossip circuit, and they go to gossips, or they go to people, and they try to find as much information as they can. Now, here's this next thing that we're ignorant of, and that's what motivates an evil report. There are things that will actually motivate people to evil report. Number one, you might want to write these six things down. Bitterness. They are reacting to personal hurt in their own life. They're bitter. Just bitter. All they want to do is talk about that person because they have bitterness in their heart. They can't get over what that person did to them. The Bible says pray for enemies, doesn't it? Bless and not curse. What does that mean? Don't speak evil of the people who've done you wrong. When you speak evil of people who did you wrong, there's bitterness or unforgiveness there. And there needs to be deliverance. Say deliverance. Okay. Another thing that causes people to give an evil report is simply this: rebellion. They're justifying themselves. They are in disobedience to God. And so they justify what they do by slandering somebody else. You'll see this on the workplace. Sometimes employees, they will slander their boss or their foreman or whoever because they know they didn't do what they were told to do. And so they're trying to make themselves look good. It happens in church. People will slander their spiritual authority because they want to justify their own independent, rebellious heart. It happens in marriages. Kids do it. My old man. All right, so see, it's a sin nature. Or my mom, blah, blah, blah. You know, to their friends. It starts off. We learn it at a young age. So basically justifying an independent spirit. A lot of times people who are rebellious, they will attack their leader and say they're controlling. There's a difference between controlling and leading, isn't there? That's right. If you're guiding the ship, I guess you do have your hand at the rudder, right? But they will bring accusation. Deception. The person doing it, they're deceived. They actually believe what they're doing is right. They think they're right. I'm just warning you about that person. That they feel justified. Pride. A lot of people tear down other people because they want to exalt themselves. Guilt. They're justifying their past actions or their past attitudes. And then envy. That's another reason. Desiring what another person has. And I know what it's like. I'll never forget, I was out in Southern California at a conference, and this has only happened to me once in my life. And it so shook me up that I could not understand what I was dealing with. But I was so glad God was exposing something. I went to hear, we were hearing quite a few ministers preach at this seminar. This was in Irvine, California. And a woman got up, and I didn't like her. I'd never seen her before. She had never done anything to me. I just didn't like her. I don't know what it was about her I didn't like. I just didn't like her. Have you ever had that happen to you? And you feel so ugly? Because I'm thinking, I don't know a thing about this person. And I have judged her, and I don't even know what I judged her on. I just didn't like her. I didn't like her voice. I didn't like what she wore. I didn't like her demeanor. I didn't like how she presented herself. I didn't like nothing about her. And I was listening, and everything she said was very good. And so, my first reaction is like, what is wrong with her that my spiritual radar is up? Because this has never happened to me. Ever been there? And right during the service, an usher come and got me, and my spiritual father wanted to see me for a moment. Pulled me out. He says, what are you dealing with? I did not know what I was dealing with. And he basically did this. He says, come out of her right now in Jesus' name. And I shook. I went in that service, and the woman ministered to me, and there was nothing wrong with her. There was a spirit that attacked me. I got called out of the service. I'm an ordained minister at a conference. My spiritual father calls me out. What's wrong with you? Come out of her. He was sitting in the service. He looked over and he could see it on me. That spirit. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm picking up something that ain't right about her because this is not me. No, it wasn't me. It was a spirit. I was glad for that deliverance. Can you say amen? I wept and I wept and I wept and I wept because there was a Jezebel spirit. An accusatory spirit. See, it can happen to everybody. It could happen to me. It could happen to you. So he called me out. An usher said, I need to meet with you back here. I'm like, what did I do? I thought it was a phone call from home is what I thought. It scared me. It startled me. And then when he come out to me and approached me like that and cast that thing off, I'm like, wow. Never told you that story, have I? Thank God for deliverance. I come back in the service, and to this day, I still have the notebook. I took 4 pages of notes from her message and learned so much and got so much from it. Good evening, everybody. So I was susceptible and didn't even know it. But there had to be something in me. Maybe I was envious. Maybe I was guilty of something that she was hitting on. Maybe I had pride. But whatever it was, it came out. Amen. Thank God. All right. Because you know what I'd have gone home? I would have been saying, I'd have been praying, God, whatever it is. And the devil would have just kept on. And I would have probably gone to somebody in leadership over that and said, we need to pray. This is infiltrating this conference. And now, wouldn't I have been an evil person acting evil to do that? Attacking that woman? If I'd allowed the devil to keep festering that. But I thought, I mean, from the time she walked up, I thought, I don't like her. She was tremendous. She was godly. She was good. She shared some powerful things. Set me free. She had some things I needed to hear, and the devil was trying to stop it. All right. Amen. I love Jesus. So a busybody is one that just tries to dig up stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm too busy. How about you? Aren't you too busy to go around digging up mess? Yeah. Ignorance of what motivates an evil report. And as I said, it can be a spirit that takes hold as well. And we're ignorant of how Satan uses evil reports. Number one, to discredit leadership. Number two, it will cause Christians to close their spirits to each other. It multiplies conflicts and ungodliness. And ultimately, for sinners to reject Jesus. Right before I close, I want to talk to you, and we're going to close this whole thing out. There's so much more in this teaching series, but I just want to talk about how to detect a person given an evil report and some things you need to ask to deal with it. I'm a kind of person that I don't listen to one side of the story and draw a conclusion. You always have to hear both sides. Amen. The Bible says let everything be done by 2 or 3 witnesses. So if you just hear one witness of a side of a story, you're receiving evil report into you. I always say there's his side and her side, or side A and side B, and then there's side C, which is what God sees. Amen. All right. How to detect somebody who is infected or has disease that can expose you and contaminate you. How to detect them. All right, here's the detectors. You ready for them? Number one, when they're about to give you an evil report, they will test your spirit. They will test your spirit before giving the evil report. And any slight thing they can pick up as some compatibility, that will encourage them to give an evil report. They'll look for signs that maybe you're interested. Now, after they know you, and if you're a type of person who feeds off of evil reports, they won't even test your spirit. But if they're not sure, they will test your spirit by your actions as they begin to talk. Number two, a carrier will usually check your acceptance of his report before giving it to you. He may do this by asking your opinion about the person, or dropping a negative comment, or observing your response to it. For example, I've had people come up to me and say, "Do you know Dr. John?" Or, because I said use him because he is our covering. "Do you know Dr. John? Do you know Dr. Tim? Do you know that person? Do you know him?" And they look for your response. Or they'll just throw a hint of something just to see how you will respond. Did you see what happened the other Sunday? Did you happen to see what the neighbors were doing? They're testing. They're looking for something of acceptance. A carrier will many times get you to ask, "Oh boy, this is good," for the evil report by creating curiosity about it. They might say, "I really shouldn't be saying this, but..." So you're saying, "But what?" Now you've asked for it. A carrier may use an evil report to get you to admire him or her because of being on the inside and having access and privileged information. When I worked for a ministry way back years ago, and they had a TV station, they had a TV program, and there were people of notoriety that would come and be on their TV shows. And they wouldn't let just anybody do menial things like bring the water and sit on, because they had to have people they trusted. Because if this minister or this person was having a bad day, they didn't want somebody going out and saying, "Boy, they're a real snob." And so they had to test. They would test their employees that worked there by baiting them with stuff to see if they would keep it confidential. And then they would glean from that for those who would have access to great people in the kingdom of God. How about that? You were tested and didn't even know you were being tested. A carrier usually will invoke vivid details of evil and search them out. Here's five questions you need to ask a person who comes to you with evil information. Do you have time for these five questions? Should take 5 minutes or less. Number one, what is your reason for telling me? Boy, I've used that one, and it's like throwing ice water in somebody's face. What's your reason for telling me this? And they go, "Well, I just thought you might need to know to pray. Or I just thought you would want to know, or I thought it was..." But they have to search for an answer. They're not used to people doing that. You see, gossips and busybodies and whispers and slanders, they're not used to being confronted. They get away with it. And sometimes you can be saving their soul from hell by confronting them. And you also know you're going to be their next target. I hear laughter going on. How many's been somewhere where I'm talking about? Okay, number two. Where did you get your information? Where did you get this information from? That sometimes you can stop it. Refusal to give sources is a good indication. Number two, have you gone directly to the people and tried to restore them? Have you gone directly to them with this? Number four, have you personally checked out all the facts? Even facts become distorted when not balanced with other facts or given with negative motives. And here's my favorite. And I tell you another good thing to do is when you say, have you tried to restore them or have you done? Well, why don't we go together right now? You come to me with this. You are concerned about them, you say. Let's go to them right now. And how about this one? Can I quote you when I check this information out? Those who give evil reports claimed they're misquoted. Those who are doing this don't want to be revealed. So, as I go research what you're telling me this, can I quote you on this? Boy. How many think, I should have handled some things differently? Raise your hand. A lot of times we do it by trying to change the subject. But now, all you've done is cause them to go to somebody else. Sometimes, if we put up a block, they never forget it. Amen? And they think twice before they try to defile somebody else. Thank you, Jesus. Well, did you receive something tonight? Praise God. Let me give you symptoms of infection. Believing that an evil report is true. You can hear something 21 times and it becomes to sink into your brain as facts, even if it's a lie. Forming negative opinions based on the report. Focusing on negative aspects about a person that you've heard talked about. Interpreting the person's words and actions as supporting evidence. And people do this all the time. They'll take a busybody or a gossip or a slanderer and what they say as evidence. That is no evidence at all. And if you're infected, you begin to tell what you've heard. Oh, Jesus. Well, let's pray. Heard we had a good sermon Sunday. Can't wait to hear it. Amen. Take the veil off. Let's get real. God's talking. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, Lord, I just want to thank you for spiritual covering, Lord, that dealt promptly with something in my life, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the power of deliverance that sets you free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now that, Lord, that we can reverse the curse that people tried to put on us by talking evil, slanderous things about us. All of us have been lied about. All of us have been talked about in our lifetime. God, I thank you that you can reverse that curse. Because no weapon of words that is formed against any of us as a child of God shall prosper. I thank you. And Lord, forgive us for thinking things we shouldn't think, for saying things we shouldn't say. Lord, for confiding in people that we should not have talked to. Lord, forgive us. Lord, cleanse us. We know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And Lord, we're going to eat the fruit of it. And so, Father, I just thank you right now. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, let it be acceptable in your sight. Because, Lord, every word, every idle word we'll give account for. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, and you are our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word tonight. We bless your holy name. For, Lord, you are good all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."